Hey everybody, happy Monday. I'm Angela Belt, your host of the Mood Board Podcast, and I'm so excited to be kicking off a new season. I want to first and foremost thank everybody who listened to my last interview last week with James Bianca. If you didn't listen to it right after you listen to our new one this week. I've just been appreciated all the love. It's been a very interesting year. There's been a lot of love on the glow up for my interior design business, Angela Belt Interiors, and likewise, just a lot of interest in the Mood Board Podcast as we move into season 8. I started this show 4 years ago and love how many people are listening to it, how many people want to come on it, just the international presence. It's a really rewarding experience, and it's why I do what I do to make sure that it comes on the air as much as possible. So today, I'm very excited to have two people who have been on my wish list to come onto the show for years. So it's Barry and Jordan. You probably know them from Instagram as the Brownstone Boys. And they are a Brooklyn-based interior design firm, and they focus all on restoring historic homes. So we're going to dig deep into that process. Why do we all feel like we can't get enough of their how-to videos? I feel like I watch them several times a day, and they make a process that is very difficult look super easy. So on that note, let's start the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Mood Board Podcast. I'm really excited because I have the Brownstone Boys on today. I have Jordan and Barry. I'm sure many of you guys have been following them through social media, on their blog. I know I have been stalking them for a while. I can say that now and they can hear it. So I'm thrilled to have you guys join me on the show today.
Hi, Angela. Thanks so much for having us. We are so excited to chat with you today.
So I always do this, you know, just because there are plenty of people out there. We always think everybody knows us in the interior design world, but they don't. So for first time listeners, you know, what can people expect from the Brownstone Boys?
So what we have become known for is we renovate brownstone properties here in Brooklyn, New York. And we do the whole townhouse, so they're all really big projects, top to bottom, historic home. We love original features. We love plaster moldings and original woodwork, but we also love modern design, and we love mixing those two things together. So we love to restore all those original features, marble fireplaces. Sometimes we even add them back into the house if they were removed, or we've even done modern apartments, or we put those features into it to give it more charm and character. And so those are the types of things that usually you'll see on our Instagram feed.
Yeah, we're also a couple. We started our business organically just by doing our own brownstone. We bought our house 7 months after dating each other, and we had a lot of questions that we weren't finding the answers to. So we kind of organically started sharing our story, and people in the community start resonating, reaching out to us, asking us a lot of questions and sounding like they were needing a lot of help. So we finally asked somebody after going back and forth, and we're like, would you be interested in us helping you with your home renovation? And they jumped at the opportunity, said yes. It became our first client. One client quickly turned into three clients, where we quit our full-time jobs and became officially the Brownstone Boys. And now 5 years later, we have renovated over 20 some brownstones, full gut renovations. So yeah, you can expect a lot of what Barry said, but also our personal story kind of intertwined. We become kind of known for stripping, wood stripping.
let's be specific, wood stripping. I would say, as someone who, like, I used to live in Brooklyn, New York. So like, I used to live in Park Slope and Fort Greene, and like just salivating over so many brownstones, but like the process of not only just like updating one, but then trying to restore them back to their original condition is quite a feat. And to do it when you guys, this was not your background, but your passion and how it really developed into your career is like incredible.
Thank you. It's wild. And there's definitely some better days out there, and some days are really difficult and challenging, but we really wouldn't have it any other way. And it's just become such a passion of ours. And yeah, we're very grateful and passionate about what we do.
So let's talk about this, because you guys talked about leaving the corporate world and then going into this as a full-time job. Like, what was your life like before you got into this? You know, we're dating, now we're getting a place together, we're restoring it. Like, what was your corporate world environment? They were like, we're ready to leave this.
I guess a little bit more about my background is I always wanted to be an architect. I went to architectural school, made it halfway through, and then decided my life was going to go in a different direction and got a business degree and then went into software sales. So I was in software sales for 10 years and I started buying and selling. I bought my first apartment. I did some renovations. I sold it. Then I bought another apartment that needed more renovations. Lived in it for a bit, sold it. And I did that like every 2 years. I would renovate my house and then sell it. And so I got used to kind of like doing it on my own on the side. So even though my corporate life was software sales and had nothing to do with architecture design, my passion and my kind of like my hobby, I guess you could say,
always doing
all the personal projects I was doing. So it's kind of had a little bit of both, but I've always been very entrepreneurial. I have wanted to start a business for myself. I dreamed about, you know, all these different scenarios of things that could happen. It never in my wildest dreams did I think that this is the way it was going to happen, but it very organically came to be. And so it was definitely a leap of faith to, after that third client, and we were like, okay, do we quit our jobs and do this full time? It seems like it can work, but who knows? Maybe we'll never get another client. Maybe this is it. We have three clients and that's it. No one will ever want to work with us again. So it was a risk, and both had to make the plunge.
My background's a little different. I stayed put in the same apartment for 15 years in Brooklyn. And I rented, I saved every penny I had in hopes that one day I would be able to buy an apartment. I went to school for film and I had to put myself through film school. So I worked at a bakery. I used to be a baker, and the guys that owned the bakery were expanding and opening up a second location, and they needed help designing a kitchen. And they asked the bakers, as we had the most familiarity in how things function in the bakery, to help design the kitchen. It became a passion project of mine. So when that second bakery opened and everything was great and the kitchen was functioning and beautifully designed, might I add, they had asked me what I thought of the process, and I let them know how much I loved it. They referred me to an ice cream company that at the time had two locations in Brooklyn, but were wanting to expand, and they needed help kind of with the project management, working with our architect and getting all these scoop shops open. So I joined Ample Hills Creamery back when they were-
I know Ample Hills. Yeah, some good ice cream. I waited in line.
That ooey gooey is like the real deal. It's amazing. So however, I was with them when they were at two shops, and in 5 years, I helped them open up 16 ice cream shops. So I became so familiar with New York City code. It was, I still look back at those times as some of the best times of my life, just because I was working on something I was so unfamiliar with, but I was so passionate about it that it just became not even work for me. It was just a real true joy to see that come to fruition as quickly as it did.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting too, because I feel like so many people, I think, you know, when we're seeing somebody's story on social media, we're just like, oh, they quit their corporate job and, you know, they renovated a brownstone, but not really getting all of the things you guys were already doing kind of behind the scenes were kind of leading to this. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of hard to see the full picture when you're just kind of starting it and going like, is this really what we want to do? Do I clearly want to leave, you know, my 9 to 5 that's paying the bills to take a huge risk?
Exactly.
But it definitely paid off.
I think so.
So let's talk a little bit too about, you know, the renovation process. How do you guys, I feel like when I look at so many of your designs, like there is definitely that marriage between the old and the new. How do you guys really balance when you're like, this would be, you know, better to restore this piece, and then when you're like, no, let go and let's just go for something new?
It definitely is a balance for sure. So we definitely lean toward restoration. And if you own a brownstone or a historic home that was 1800s, like most of the ones that we work in were, then you must have some appreciation for that. Like you wanted to buy that house for, you know, for a reason. And so we lean toward restoring anything that we can, and we love doing it. And that's always our rule of thumb. But sometimes it does make sense to remove something, or sometimes it makes sense to replace it. For instance, I always use this analogy, but you know, we're not trying to create a period piece kitchen. Like, we're not trying to make a kitchen like it was in the 1800s. No one wants that. No, like, that is not practical. That does not work in 2024 or in any year. So we're going to make a modern kitchen in an old house. And so we don't mind if it's modern. We don't mind if it's like a sleek Scandinavian style kitchen and an 1890s brownstone. It's not an 1890s kitchen, so it doesn't have to be something in between old and new. We don't mind that juxtaposition and that intersection of those two things. But we definitely want to respect the integrity of the home, of the original features. We want them to be the star of the show in a lot of cases, and we want to lead with that. And then we want to build everything else in around it.
Yeah, no, and I feel like that when I go through and kind of look at you guys' work, like, it's just so beautifully done, but you can tell how much of it, like, that you guys have saved. I used to work for like 10 years with Room and Board, and our owner was always about preserving the building, the history of it. And like, there'd be so many times I'd be like, why do we care about these stairway railing, you know, like this much? But he'd be like, we got to preserve, like, this part is so important to the story. And you can really tell that when you guys go through your work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the first thing that we usually do when we someone reaches out inquiring about working with us, is we go and observe what the original architecture was to the home and kind of start there from the design, but using that original architectural details within the home, or if we needed to bring it back into the home and kind of basing everything off of what is already existing in the space.
Hello and welcome. For most of you, this may not be your first time listening to the Mood Board podcast, but if it is, welcome to our new spring season. I talk about all things dealing with interior design, race, and culture, and how all of these things really intersect. I love having conversations about how people got into the industries, the ups and downs. And so if you are also in the interior design industry and you want to get your story out there, please DM me at _AngelaBelt, or you can go to my website at angelabelt.com and send me a message, and we can talk about having a sponsored episode or running a commercial ad on this podcast. All right, let's get back to the show. So let's talk a little bit about your process. Like, usually how long does a renovation process take for you guys? Because brownstones are, there's a lot going on. We're talking about 3-4 stories underground. There's a lot that has to be managed.
Sure. There's so much going on, like you just said. There's multiple bathrooms. Sometimes there's multiple kitchens. Sometimes there's a rental unit that's also part of the footprint of the brownstone. So again, after we assess the space, we always provide clients with what our professional opinion is on what a budget needs to be. Within that budget, it's also imperative to know what the timeline is going to be. No two homes are the same, or at least I like to think so, but the footprint of the brownstone, we kind of got down. They're usually 20 by 40, you know, sometimes 3 or 4 stories, 5 stories. We're starting a project that is 5 stories. And we really know that, you know, the Department of Buildings is a beast here in New York. And we always estimate at least 2 to 3 months just for the architectural permits to be, you know, approved. That can kind of, but we're always working alongside.
But there, you know, all of our projects are big. You know, usually you have to update the electrical in these old buildings, the plumbing, you have to add HVAC, you know, so the scope of work is extensive. Sometimes there's a lot of structural stuff that has to happen. So they're big projects and they're long projects. And so typically we're working on a project for a year, sometimes a little bit more if there's like a lot of structural stuff, if we're adding an addition the top of the building or the back of the building or digging in the basement and excavating to create more space down there. And it could be a year and a half. So when we go into a relationship with a client,
right, we're in it.
It is It is. It's we know it's a long relationship.
It's a roller coaster ride.
We know it's a roller coaster. We know we try to like explain that to people, and we have a very close relationship with all of our clients, and that's very important to us because we have to. You know, it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're together for a while. You know, and sometimes even from the inception of the project, because usually our clients come to us first. So
okay.
Or they talk to anyone else. Sometimes they just bought the house, or sometimes they didn't even buy the house yet. They're like in the market or to buy a historic home. And they reach out to us because they're like, how do we even find the right one? And how do we know what the renovation budget needs to be? I'm actually a real estate agent also.
Okay.
Got my license specifically for that reason, is to help our clients. If they're in the market for a house, we can actually really get in there and actually help them find the right house. Estimate what the budget needs to be for the renovation, what the timeline might be for each house that we look at. And so that's a big part of it. And it's sometimes even a couple of years that we're working with. I think it might take a few months to find the house. Then you have to close on the house. Then you go into architecture and design for a few months. I mean, we're really,
you guys are in it because I feel like when people think about the process of like doing a renovation, it's extensive. But then when you start thinking about a brownstone, we are talking about, like you're saying, there could be a rental property. There's the multiple floors. There's so many things. And then you're dealing with all the historical things to it.
Yeah.
I think there really is a marriage in it. Like when someone's signing up, like they're with you guys. You guys are in it.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, the importance of social media, and I think that our clients do reach out to us kind of having an understanding of who we are as people, or at least I like to think so.
Yeah.
And I like to believe that they already have that piece down. So they kind of have this trust in us already before reaching out to us. And then, you know, we also want to have an understanding of them because it's a relationship we're throwing ourselves into. And, you know, Barry and I are with each other night and day, literally. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that our family that we're now, that we call a renovation family, are the right people that we want to bring into the world of Brownstone Boys.
Yeah.
So I think even like pivoting to that a little bit, like since you guys are a couple and you work together all the time, like my husband and I, we've done it on and off, but we both like, he's an art director, like we both like have a lot of control and we have different ways of being stubborn about our control. How do you guys feel like you balance each other out when you do all of like, this is so much of your, where is the work-life balance?
Yeah, that's tough to find sometimes.
We're still learning.
Very much. Very, very considerate of that and cognizant of it. But so I guess one of the ways I'll answer that is I'm not sure if we shared this yet with you, but we just recently announced that we wrote a book. And the title of our book is For the Love of Renovating. And it is that we chose that title for a couple of reasons. One is we really do have a passion for renovating and for improving spaces and making spaces beautiful and more functional and livable. But it also is kind of a reference to us, to our relationship, and the fact that we do this together, and we, you know, we do work together on it, and it is part of who we are as people and as a couple, really. And so it was really important for us to have the theme of the book and the title of it reflect that.
Yeah. And do you guys like institute date night? Like, I know my husband and I do that. Like we can't manage life without date night.
Yeah, we need to do it more. So I'm going to take your advice on that and do it more. But we really try to like at least once a month do something for each other. Or we always love surprising each other with something. We haven't done it in a while and we're overdue for some surprises.
This is good too. And this is now being recorded. So you both
have
to commit to it.
Yeah. Note it. But it's definitely like, you know, for us, we know each other's strengths and we always, when it comes to clients, like I know that Barry needs to handle that construction, administration, management, financials. That's not my strong suit. But when it comes to the therapy side of things and
helping with the client the client through the difficult situations.
I know that importance. And I am, you know, maybe it's a Scorpio on me, but I know.
I love me a good Scorpio. I'm always friends with Scorpios.
I'm feeling this bond. I get it. But I know that what the challenges are to go through a renovation. And yes, Barry and I turn it into our business, but many of our clients aren't thinking of that, but they are going through these extreme emotions during a renovation. And I think it's really special and delicate to hold on to those emotions while going through something so challenging. That they're building their forever home. And I always try to lead with that on the client side. And I know sometimes when our clients need that therapy, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's when Barry lets me stick in my lane and I let him stick in his lane when, you know, business needs to happen.
I think interior design too, like, I don't know how many people really think about this, why there's like the balance between the therapy, but like when you start getting into the financials, like really into people's financial budgets, you know, everybody's excited about a gut renovation, but we all know that there's always aha moments. Even when we say there's padding, there's always something else that goes on. And then people do get pretty defensive at some point because it comes down to money, you know, and their dreams at the same time. And so I do think that is always like the juggling act. And like you said, I mean, you guys are working with people for at least a year, sometimes years. Not everybody's going to keep their cool during all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's always hard. I think harder for me when a client breaks, and everybody, including us, like everyone will break through a gut renovation. There's just a time and a place, in large part because of finances. And it's just imperative for me to let them know that we will overcome this and that there's ways that we can work around whatever is the challenge in that finance at the moment.
So before we get to like the last question, I think one of the things I'd love to know just a little bit more about the book, because now that we've talked about it a little bit, I want to know a little bit more. What inspired you guys to want to do the book? Like, how did this all come together?
So we never thought we would write a book. Like, it's not even something that it crossed our minds until someone mentioned it to us. So we have a friend, an old friend of Jordan's that we know well, that you kind of lost contact with, was following us, and she is a literary agent. She's been, you know, she's a well-respected literary agent.
She was the book agent for the guys that at the bakery I worked for. And I just had her as the agent for the two cookbooks that I helped put together with the owners.
Yeah. So she reached out to us and said, I want to meet for coffee because I think you guys should write a book. And we were like, okay. Why, really? And so we met with her and thought she was nuts for thinking we should write a book or could even write a book. But then after that meeting, like, we literally couldn't get it out of our heads because she convinced us that we could write a book and what we would have offer in the book would be something that would be valuable and useful to people. And then we started just really thinking about, you know, could we write a book that not only offered inspiration to people to improve their spaces and dreaming up their kitchens and their bathrooms and their closets and their living spaces, but also told them how to do it.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot of design books out there that are beautiful with full page, two page spreads, which our book is as well, but they don't really tell you how to actually accomplish it. And so that's what we do. And so we actually follow the process that we work with our clients. And how we kind of hold their hands from the very beginning to like actually choosing the house, finding the fixer-upper, planning and organizing the renovation, and then going through room by room and making all the decisions and choosing all the materials and finishes and understanding how everything fits together.
Mm-hmm. And with budget breakdowns for any size budget that you have, whether it's small, large, and tied to my past, we include renovation recipes at the end of every chapter.
I like that idea.
So it's kind of like a DIY if you feel like taking a project on and if you're comfortable with that, and the encouragement to tackle some of these projects to make a space truly one of a kind.
I also feel like just, you know, because I know you guys just, you're making the content and I'm someone who's watching it. I think you guys are tackling things that feel very overwhelming, but I feel like whenever someone's watching your videos, like when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, that's how that was done. You know what I mean? Clearly we're not getting in. I'm not knocking out a wall on my own, but I do feel like I'm at least getting like a better understanding of like, okay, this is how that process would work. Here's some of the questions I need to ask, because I think that's where so many people get uncomfortable or they just don't know where to start. And I feel like the two of you are so good at like conveying, this is what you want to do next. And especially for people who one of my friends, I told him I was talking to you and she's like freaking out because she wants to buy a house in New York. And she's like, oh my God, like I watch all their videos and was like so excited because people do learn a lot from you. And so I know you guys are surprised that someone would offer you a book. I am not at all surprised. just because I feel like what we even get off of social media, we're like, we would love even more. I think just the way that you guys are able to communicate something that's really just a lot to tackle.
Yeah. And I think that is our goal with it. I mean, I think that you can, the way that we approach the book is you can literally renovate your kitchen by reading it because it explains most or all of what you need to know. But we don't always expect that someone's going to be doing the work themselves. You might still hire a contractor or an architect and go through this whole renovation, but it provides a lot of the background you need so that you can be comfortable and you can have peace of mind through the process. Because otherwise you might not know if, you know, the contractor saying things, the architect saying things, and you might need like a foundation and some way to ground yourself throughout the process. And so that was our hope, is just, you know, to provide inspiration to people, to empower people, to give them peace of mind through the process, and which is what we do with our clients. And we really approach the entire book on multiple levels and how we work with our clients through an entire scary renovation project, usually a big project that they go through. So it was fun. And we had a blast writing it. It really was amazing. And we spent a year writing. Mm-hmm. And then we spent about a year working with the publisher and designing it and our photography and artwork and things like that. So we just announced pre-order last week. So it's out for pre-order on our site. It's out on Amazon is where most people are probably buying it, but it's available other places too. It's called For the Love of Renovating. And the publication date is June 4th.
Perfect. I will have that on the site and I will have a link to the pre-order so we can get that going as well. So before we wrap up, I always try to think like, what is a way that people can reach out to you guys and work with you? Or are you guys just like, we are so hot, we are so booked, just catch us on the gram.
I mean, the best way to direct people to work with us is definitely through our website. We have a questionnaire that we're always wanting to learn about new projects and what people are tackling and ways that we might be able to collaborate together. So I think directing people to our website would be the best, at thebrownstoneboys.com.
And the services, so we have our full service that we offer, which is like, you know, holding the client's hand through the entire project, which we can obviously only take on a limited number of those. Mm-hmm. Those projects. We do offer other services as well. We offer a virtual consultation. Mm-hmm. So people will book us and those are readily available at any point, where it's like usually an hour virtual consultation. And we can talk about anything you want to talk about, from historic preservation, restoration, to planning a renovation, budgeting,
interior design,
designing, mm-hmm. and also in-person consultation. So here in New York, if it's someone local, we can do an in-person consultation. So there's a lot of options there, I think. And we're always happy to help. And we love expanding our renovation family as big as it can be.
Fun. I agree. Yeah, it's like, I think it's just always having those different tiers. I think people just want to know. There's just so much going into home renovations. I have a house that's 80 years old and, you know, you have a lot of questions because once you start opening up the walls, things get a little dicey.
Yes. Very true.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed that episode. And remember, you can actually pre-register now. You can get their book, For the Love of Renovating: Tips, Tricks, and Inspiration for Creating Your Dream Home. And I know many of us, as we're coming into the spring season, you're itching to start a renovation. This is going to be a great resource. I also just love the idea of home design recipes. I think that's really a great idea at the end of each chapter. So I am looking forward to getting my copy. Again, it comes out at the beginning of next month in June. So you can actually go and pre-order it now, and I'll have a link on my website how you guys can do that as well. On that note, I want to remind everybody to continue to listen, subscribe, leave your reviews, absolutely loving all of the energy around this show, and we want to continue to make sure that everybody's voices are being heard. If you know someone that you're like, I know they'd be perfect for this show, please let me know. Do not hesitate to reach out. Next week, we have AD, one of our Architectural Digest 100 designers, who's been on the list more than once, several times, LA-based interior designer Mandy Chen. Very excited to have her on the show. And we're going to dig into lots of things that have happened in her career and also some new things that I'm excited to share with you that are on the horizon for her this spring. All right, on that note, remember to stay safe. Bye-bye.